Coming up today on Davisville, we talk with Doug Hatton. You might know him as Santa Claus. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you're listening. This is Davisville on KDRTLP, 95.7 FM in Davis, California. Different intro music today. That's O Tannenbaum by Calvin Handy and the Jazz Patrol. This is our Christmas show. And our guest is Doug Hatton, who owns a business in Davis, but he's here today because he often portrays Santa Claus at various events in town. In fact, he was on the show once before, about 6 years ago, on the same subject, and it was a popular show, so we're having a fresh interview tonight. We're going to talk about what it's like to be Santa in Davis, and we'll find out. So, Doug, thanks for coming on the show today.
You betcha, Bill. Thank you.
By the way, I got to say, people can't see this. This is radio, but you have a wonderfully full Santa beard here. I mean, it just looks as convincing as can be. Maybe that'll be my first question. Do kids really pull the beard and find out? And if so, that must hurt.
Well, it can. It's usually the little tiny ones, the babies that reach around and grab a fistful and then start to yank. But most of the little, the older ones, elementary school, they I can kind of reel them in for another year of belief, you know, having a real beard rather than the phony one.
Well, that's true, right? When they get to that edge where they're thinking, maybe Santa isn't real, but they see you and you look the part and that's a real beard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they go, oh, okay, maybe Santa is real.
Yeah.
So what's involved in playing Santa these days? You know, what skills do you need?
Well, you have to love kids and love talking to them, and they can really tell if you know if you're interested in talking to them, and just try and bring bring them open to talking to you. A lot of them they're really scared, and but you can just after a little bit of figuring them out, you can get them to start yapping.
So that I'm no psychologist, but that sounds like you're applying real listening skills. And how do you get them? How do you calm their fears?
Oh, well, sometimes a candy cane right off the bat kind of breaks the ice.
Uh-huh.
But just asking them what they do. Are they going to school, preschool? You know, they have friends. You know, just talk about stuff that kids their age probably do. You know, what their interests, their hobbies, brothers and sisters. You know, what do they like to do with mom and dad? You know, just things that just get them to talking. And once they start talking, usually they get more comfortable, and then sometimes you can't get them to stop talking, you know. And so, you know, when you're seeing a lot of kids, you know, and I have this problem because I'm getting, you know, my finger pointed at me by people saying, you got to hurry up a little bit because you've got a whole line of kids to talk to in a certain length of time. I get a young one that had a hard time talking. Now he's just talking away. You know, I usually want to keep talking to him, but you have to keep it on schedule. But usually just, you know,
yeah,
get them talking about stuff.
You know. I imagine listening to you now, you also get good at exit lines, you know, things to say to them to sort of say, okay,
right,
we're done for now.
Yeah. Well, usually once you get into, you know, the what do they want for Christmas and talking about that, that's usually the end, and, you know, you can...
Well, let's follow up on that. What do kids in Davis ask for?
Kids in Davis ask for a lot of the higher dollar stuff. The girls ask for American Girl dolls. You know, the boys ask for a lot of electronics. Santa has a real problem with phones and things like that. So when the young ones ask for phones, I change the topic to something else real quick. And
I see. This is how you kind of discourage their idea that they're going to get this from Santa.
Yeah. I try and get them back on the fun things of the things it used to be, you know, rather than an electronic device, you know, something they can get out and play with their friends and do stuff like that, you know, and try and get them back to the old things, you know. It seems like kids nowadays, so many of them are just, they're stuck to their phones and they're stuck to their electronic devices, you know, and they're not talking to their friends and doing things outside like they should be doing as kids, you know.
So I hear a philosophy in there. You're sort of where you can, I imagine, encouraging them to want toys that have them play with people.
Yeah. Yeah,
and be isolated.
Yeah, and some kids will ask for books and things like that, and I'm real happy to hear that. Yeah. You know, I encourage that quite a bit, and you know, the things that they can do other than just sitting there endlessly talking on a phone for nothing. You know,
how often do parents sort of get your ear before their kid talks to you to sort of, I don't know, give you some idea of?
Oh, that happens quite a bit. They'll come up and they, when at the breakfast with Santa we have at the Davis Odd Fellows, which is my biggest event and my favorite event, they give their name to somebody, so for the photographer, and a lot of times the parents will slip them a little piece of paper, and they'll give it to one of my elves or helper, and then they'll hand it to me. So I can get a little bit, you know, third grade, David's a name, he likes doing this or doing that, you know, and he's been doing this past year. So when he comes up, that's another good icebreaker too. I have already a little idea, you know, what they've been doing, and that works out very well. So
how many kids do you suppose you see in a typical Christmas season?
A normal season can be well over 1,000.
1,000?
Yeah, 1,000 kids. You can imagine 1,000 kids on and off your lap. That's a...
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm starting to imagine the physical demands of the job as well.
Ibuprofen is your friend. Yeah, the several of the big events, the Breakfast with Santa does... 3 breakfast seatings at 120 kids per seating. And some of the other big events have been 300 to 400 each. Yeah. And
we should talk just a little bit about the Breakfast with Santa. That's the Odd Fellows puts that on.
That's correct.
And it's a coincidence. We're recording this interview tonight on December 10th. In fact, people may hear in the background the Davis Media Access holiday party is sort of starting up just outside our studio here. But this show won't air until after the event occurs this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sells out every year, though, right? That's
Oh, my gosh. The wonderful people at Avid Reader and Common Grounds Coffee Shop, they sell the tickets for us. And I went to get some tickets on the morning that they went up for sale at Common Grounds for some friends of mine that live out of town. And I got there at 10 o'clock, and they were gone. And because we have a 8 o'clock seating, a 9:30 seating, and 11 o'clock seating, and they wanted them for 9, and the tickets that they had were gone already. And so I had to go over to wait for Avid Reader to open up, and then I had to stand in line.
To get some of their tickets before they sold them.
That's right. Yeah. They were sold within a few days, all of them, so it's a very popular event.
So you've lived in Davis since the 1960s, I think you said, when you were a teenager.
That's correct.
How long have you been playing Santa?
22 years now.
22 years. So starting in, what is that, 96.
Mm-hmm.
What got you started?
Actually, a friend of mine who played Santa for an event at the Davis Mormon Church on 8th Street, and he was... being asked to do it every year, and he wanted a year off, and so he said, "Would you mind doing Santa for me? You have a white beard, and I'd just like to take a year off." So I did it, and I got asked by somebody else to come over, and I had so much fun talking to the kids And then I got asked to do another thing, and then I did it, and then I kept getting asked to do more events, and it just kind of steamrolled from there, you know.
Now, and again, physically, you very much look like Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got the right shape of the face, and you've got the beard, and you know, at least the traditional image that we have of Santa, the more recent one. I mean, would you grow the beard otherwise, or do you just do this for Santa?
No, I've had a beard long before then, but I've never grown it to the length it is now, but other than until Santa came around.
And you must get stopped by kids on the street this time of year.
Oh, gosh.
Or get looks at least.
Oh, gosh, yes. You know, it's funny walking through the grocery store and then seeing a little one in the shopping cart, and they look at me, and all of a sudden just their head just locks on me, and then they're grabbing mom's sleeve and you know, and all excited, you know, he's here.
So, and now you've done this a long time, so I imagine this doesn't bother you, but that really makes you a role model, doesn't it? I mean, you would have to kind of be careful at December because you are Santa Claus to a bunch of kids, and if they see you do something that they interpret the wrong way, you know, jaywalking or something. I don't know.
I'll have fun with it. I'll bend down to him and I'll put my finger next to my mouth and I'll go, shh, don't tell anybody, you know, it'll be our secret, you know, and they'll have fun with it too, you know, and like, we're not, you know, Santa's undercover, or Santa's, you know, you know, he's here, but I wanna tell anybody so he can be here, but you know, so it's a lot of fun.
Now, how has it changed over the years, or has it changed?
It really hasn't. You know, it's just the only thing that's changed is just the stuff, you know, and
you mean what people ask for, what kids ask for, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, the gadgets, the toys, you know, and I tell you that I don't know what I'm going to do now because I was always Toys R Us, a little pamphlet before Christmas time. I was kind of like my go-to because I'd go through there and make sure I was up and all the, you know, because I tell you what, they ask for something. If you don't know about it, they're going to really, you know, call you on the carpet.
You have to do research.
You betcha.
I hadn't thought about that. So, mm-hmm. So Toys R Us, of course, that's the big toy chain, and they've gone bankrupt.
Although right.
I think I read someone may try to revive the name and bring something back. But so what do you do now?
Oh, I scour. I look in the internet, you know, and you can find all you got to do is Google what's the hot toys for Christmas, you know, and you can just you'll see tons of them, you know, mm-hmm. And then just do research that way. That's the best now. So,
we are talking with Doug Hatton of Davis, California, who plays Santa at various events and has for 22 years. This is Davisville on KDRT, and this is our Christmas show. In fact, a programming note in passing, I figured out this is the 250th Davisville we've recorded. We started this show about 10 years ago. So,
wow.
So there you go.
They're almost as old as Santa.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't look the part, though. So you have children, right? You have a couple. I think you said you had two, and they're in their 20s now.
I do. I have a boy and a girl. Actually, they're in their 30s.
30s, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So if I'm doing the math right, then they probably had aged out of believing in Santa by the time you started doing this?
Yeah. Yeah, they were, you know, they were in their, you know, late junior high, early high school days. I've been doing it 22 years, and they're 34 and 32 now. So,
okay,
you know, they were 10 and 12, and so they were they had already pretty much, you know, knew the game.
So I guess what I'm leading up to is you playing Santa. Mm-hmm. I was wondering when you told your own kids the Santa story and whether Santa's real. You know, people play it different ways. Some, from an early age, say, no, Santa's not real. It's just, and others seem to hold on to that for a long time.
Well, you know, my family loved Christmas. And so they did a lot of things when I was little and in my family with my brothers and sisters that, you know, really made Christmas special. I remember when I was 4 or 5 years old, my dad had my brother get up on the roof. They'd put me to bed, and they put my brother up on the roof so he could walk across the roof. And then my mom was there tucking me in, and she says, "Oh my gosh, I think that's Santa." And I was just shaking with excitement thinking about that. I don't know why they did that, because I don't think I slept a wink.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're trying to get a kid to sleep, yeah, that's not going to do it.
But just the magic of it all, you know, it's just anything that you can just make a kid be a kid and have fun, you know, and retain the magic. And there's, you know, there's just so much in the world going on, but just let the little kid be a little kid, you know, and have fun, you know.
So when do they stop coming to you? How old do you suppose?
When they stop coming, oh, my gosh. I have families that have had kids I'm hold as babies, and they're in college, and they have come and seen me for that long. And this one set of parents, all their kids were very young when they started, and their littlest one was a baby, and they've brought them every year to see me for the longest time. I think ever since shortly after I started doing, you know, city events, which was like a year or two after I started with the church, you know. So
they're coming to see you as teenagers, even. I imagine they like just sort of stand by the side and say, "Hey, Santa."
Kind of thing. And of course they know what's going on, but it was such a fun event, and it was so special for when they were little. They still want to come back, you know. Yeah. It's a family event. It's tradition, you know. And there's so much of that, you know. We have a lot of kids that have been coming for years and years, and, you know, even they're older, and they know what's going on, but they still want to come because it's, you know, so special for their family. You know?
So I imagine you must have a fun moment or two, particularly over the years, maybe something that someone's asked for that's sticks with you.
Oh, gosh. One little girl, she asked me for a bank versateller machine. She wanted me to install it in her bedroom wall.
A bank versateller
machine? Yeah, because she saw Mommy drive up to the machine, and then the machine would give Mommy money. And so she wanted Santa to put a ATM cash machine in her bedroom so she could get money out of it like Mommy did.
So how did you manage that one?
Well, after about 10 minutes of me laughing, and I finally composed myself to where I could talk to her, I told her, I don't know if the elves make those or not, but you put it on your list. But I think we're probably going to have to stick with some toys or some games or books. But we'll see.
You know, one of the questions that I wanted to ask was how you manage expectations. And I got a sense of that earlier when And again, right now, I mean, someone asks for something that, for whatever reason, you know, just isn't, you know, it's an ATM. You're not going to put one in their bedroom. Or it's just something else that, for whatever reason, isn't likely. And how do you manage that?
Well, I try and go back to the old ways of in history of Santa. Well, Santa comes from he lives in the North Pole. And he has elves, and they're all toy makers. And so toy makers make toys. And so, you know, if it's something really weird or off the wall, you know, and I'll go back to the, you know, I'm not sure if the elves make those or not, but, you know, because they're little toy makers, and they know how to make toys and games and books and things for children. And so, you know, that's what you should put on your list, you know.
And you know, do you get a follow-up? So a kid comes back a year or two later and says, "Santa, last year I wanted, you know, fill in whatever,
mm-hmm.
And you didn't bring it." So how do you deal with those?
Well, you know, sometimes that happens. You know, you just got to kind of think of things to say to, you know, kind of smooth it over, you know, I thought you'd like a book better, you know, so, or, you know, we thought you'd like a doll better or something like that, you know. And just, you could, you know, after, you could tell what a kid's like when you're talking to them, you know. Sometimes you can just easily steer them away and make them happy. And that's what you got to try to do, you know, just, it's a good time for them right then. And you just want to keep the good times rolling with them, you know.
So. Yeah. Well, I'm getting a sense that, I mean, what you're doing is you're working with kids and you're wanting them, you know, want it to be a good moment for them.
Yeah.
But there's some very adult things, adult skills that you apply here in terms of managing what people want and expectations and what's realistic and so on. And you're, of course, you're doing it in the context of something that's just a lot of fun, meant to be a lot of fun anyway.
Right.
Kind of magical.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm
imagining there's almost a business skills book here, Lessons from Santa on how to...
Yeah, you know, I try to, you know, talk about fun things for them and things to do, and I like to talk to about family, and you know, and you know, all times I'll say, you know, the Christmas time is about being with your family and being together and it's not always about toys or games, you know. Those are fun things to get, and those are going to come. But you know, try and make it a memorable thing with your, you know, with your mom and dad. And,
so something more than just the thing, gift, the
right.
present, the whatever.
Right.
How do you observe Christmas Day yourself?
Oh gosh.
You know, I'm imagining one of those day after Christmas cards, you know, show Santa in an easy chair, feet up on a...
Well, I still, after doing it for 22 years, I'm still not tired of it. You know, it's not a job. I'll never do it as a job. It's because it's so fun for me, and I just love talking to the little people. And it just never seems to tire me, you know. It's you know, it can be times, you know, you're trying to get to this event, and then the next night you have another event, and you know, sometimes you're on a schedule, and you know, that can be a little tedious. But it, when you get there and you're doing it, it's still fun, you know. And it's.
Do you ever meet other people who play Santa? And if so, do you talk shop?
Yeah, I have a good friend, his name's actually Leroy, and every year Leroy has usually come by, and because we both trim our beards way down after Christmas, and then we both let them grow like crazy all year long, and so usually right the Christmas season he comes by and we take a picture together, and you know, we kind of say, oh, I got you beat this year, Leroy, or you know, you know mine's a little bit of, got a little more wit than you do, you know, kind of joke with each other a little bit. But yeah, I have talked to other Santas and share a few thoughts, you know. Well, how do you handle this or you handle that, you know? And there is actually an order of real bearded Santas too, and they
is there?
Yeah, it's quite a picture. There's like 300 of them in the organization, and they get together every year down in Southern California. And man, I tell you, if you want to see a picture, you see 300 big white bearded guys all in a big setting. That's quite something.
Are you a member of that group?
Actually, I'm not. I thought about it. And
you certainly qualify, I'd say.
If
beard is the requirement.
I don't know if we have enough time to talk about it, but they had a big upheaval in the organization, and one Santa was disgruntled with the other Santa. And
oh, yeah, okay. That's probably, I can imagine right there. It's
yeah.
Because like, the whole idea, right, is this is supposed to be fun. And
exactly, you know, and so I said, you know, there's drama happening here. I don't want any part of that.
Yeah. If someone wants to take on this role, what's your advice to them?
Well, you know, it's obviously one, you have to have patience, and you have to be able to have a gift of gab with little people. You know, it sounds funny, but I tell you, they can really sense if you're honestly wanting to, you're interested in what they're saying. You know, they can tell, they can sense it, you know, and they if they don't feel you want to, you're really interested in talking to them, they don't really open up. So if you love doing that, that's really all it takes, you know? You
mm-hmm. know? That and maybe some ibuprofen.
Yeah, afterwards, that works great.
All righty. And then maybe you could just answer this one, but I was going to say, if someone is going to be Santa, what's really the top skill they need to have? And maybe you'd say it's listening.
Yeah. Gift of gab, interest, the love of talking to kids, and a good holiday spirit.
Yeah. Is the magic still there?
You bet. I love Christmas. I wish it was more than a... I think it was... I wish it was the good part of it, not the commercial part of it, but the together, getting together and seeing people do stuff together and families getting together. I wish that could last longer.
Yeah, that's the struggle, isn't it? I mean, it can become this big list of chores for people, and they think, oh, why do we do this and all that? But I've just enjoyed sitting here, and we're nearly at the end of the show, but just listening to you talk about how you do this.
Yeah.
And you like talking with the kids, and you like to... You like to get them to play with each other. That's kind of neat, too.
You bet. My daughter absolutely loves Christmas, and I joke with her. She always wants to start decorating about August, you know, and I joke with her. And I said, you know, Christmas season is day after Thanksgiving, and, you know, and she says, you're Santa. You can't be saying this. And I said, well, it's usually before that time. It's just about, you know, businesses trying to sell stuff, you know. And I said, the spirit starts, you know, and usually in the first part of December, you know. So let's leave the commercial stuff out of it, you know, and make it still Christmas fun, you know.
Yeah. All righty. Well, Doug, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We have been talking with Doug Hatton, who owns a business here in town, but he's here tonight because he is... I don't know how many Santas there are in Davis, actually. There's a few of you, right, who play.
Oh, gosh.
But probably
two or three.
Yeah.
Not real many active ones. But
Yeah, and it sounds like you're going to keep doing this for as long as you can.
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
And you're in your mid-60s now, I think.
That's correct.
So, again, kind of the perfect age for that traditional view of what Santa is. Yeah. Well, thanks again.
You bet.
This is Davisville. I'm Bill Buchanan. You're listening to KDRT, and we're going to go out listening to the song Wassail, this version sung by the Davis High Madrigals, the 2007-08 version of the choir. Thanks for listening.